Well, if that didn't get your toes tapping, you better check whether you can still leave condensation on a mirror, because that was a fantastic track. In case you didn't recognise, Bette Midler and Barry Manilow, who used to play piano for her in her very early days before either of them were big. Slow Boat to China. And the reason we played that is because our next story is about China. Jared Hatherley's been taking international travellers deep into China for more than 30 years and was recently named as one of the world's top 50 guides by Britain's Condé Nast Traveller magazine. Jared's based in Hong Kong as the China specialist for luxury travel operator Abercrombie & Kent, and recently talked to Veronica Matheson about his varied tastes in Chinese food.
Now, Gerald, you would have seen so many changes in China over those years.
Very cliche to say, but it really isn't the country I went to in 1982. It's just been transformed.
But also, it was so difficult. I was there 30 years ago. I took my children there for a holiday.
Well, that's fantastic.
And it was rough travel. It really was.
Anyway, yes, rough, but, you know, good for you to think about bringing your kids then.
Oh, they had a fabulous time and they were so relaxed about everything, you know, whereas I'd be a little bit nervous about the food. They were sort of, you know, they were hungry. They'd eat anything.
Your food-wise, it's come a long way.
It's now one of the best places to go, food tours. Everybody's going to China for the food tours. It's not just rice and noodles anymore, is it?
Oh, no. You're so right. I mean, I've lived so long in China and it is my favorite cuisine. What's so great, more than anything else for the Chinese themselves, you know, this new wealth that's been created in China has put a renewed interest in their, you know, food traditions. And there is such great regional cookery in China. It's just, you know, it is a whole new world.
When you talk about regional cookery, I mean, as you say, you can go from, you say, fairly upmarket sort of English-style food in some of the restaurants and hotels to really, really, as you say, regional food. Describe maybe some of it for me, please.
Okay. Well, I have to admit, I'm very much a purist. So when I'm in China, I really like to try very local restaurants, whether it's in cities, villages, towns. So I'm a particular fan of Sichuan food. So anything that, you know, from Chengdu to small farming villages. But I love a flavor called yuxiang in Chinese, which means fish flavored. And it's not really fish at all, but it's a combination of chilies and, you know, regular chili peppers, but also the Sichuan chili, garlic, ginger, combined with rice wine and soy and a little vinegar to create this really strong sort of saucy flavor.
Yeah.
And then they use it to cook shredded pork with black tree or fungus, which is one of my favorite dishes. And my very favorite is they use that sauce to cook with aubergine or eggplant and a little minced pork. And sometimes you add tofu to it. Those are my favorite dishes. I mean, I could literally live on that every day of the week.
It sounds delicious because it is. It's tasty and it's, as you say, it speaks of China, doesn't it?
It really does. And it's got this pungent flavor that just, you know, really, you know, attacks the senses in a good way. It really awakens the senses. And I'm also a big fan of Shanghainese food. And Shanghai food, because a couple of things, because it's near the delta, the mouth of the Yangtze River. It has a long growing season. And then it had, you know, the influence, outside influences on it for 150 years. So it is a very, very cuisine. So you've got many different styles of preparation. And they do something in Shanghai cuisine that I love. They do a stewed pork shank in sort of rice wine and a red sauce, and they stew it all day and just melts off the bone. And they do some wonderful, I guess for lack of a better word, we might call dim sum or sort of savory snacks. They do this wonderful radish cake that's wrapped in a phyllo pastry. And, of course, the all-favorite, something called xiaolongbao, which is the soup dumpling, which I'm sure you all have and have experienced in Australia, but they're the Shanghainese dumplings that are stuffed with minced pork and crab or crab roe, and they're, you know, steamed And they, when you poke them, they have this wonderful broth that comes out.
Oh, it sounds wonderful. And you sound as if you're a bit of a chef yourself, are you?
Oh, I wish I could say that, but no, I'm certainly very much a consumer of Chinese food.
And also, I heard in Shanghai that one of the restaurants, which I'm dying to one day go to, is Ultraviolet. Which...
Oh, I know. I have not had the good luck to, you know, we have tried many times to book Ultraviolet. I think you've probably heard how you have to go online 100 some many days out and book it. And we have tried that many times that we've not succeeded in booking it. But everyone says Ultraviolet really is one of the ultimate sort of food experiences.
Just been named one of the top 50 restaurants in the world.
Yes, so. I have seen that. And it's really a new, unique experience because you don't know where you're going to be taken to. And he creates a sort of a different menu for each time. So it's... I would love to do that. I know of people who've done it, and they all rave about it.
Now, in Beijing, Peking duck, I mean, is that something you just have to have if you go to Beijing?
Yes. Now, if you're a traveler and you go to Beijing, of course you have to have it. I have to admit to you, I like Peking duck or Beijing duck, but I can't eat a whole lot of it. I find it so rich. But yes, for anyone who goes, if you don't, you know, the Chinese will say, you haven't been to Peking if you haven't eaten Peking duck. And there are now a proliferation of really good duck restaurants. However, there are a few very old traditional restaurants that people will tell you still are considered to be the best.
Do you recommend any of those?
Yeah, I could recommend two. One is called Da Dong, D-A-D-O-N-G. Da Dong is a long-time sort of standard bearer of Peking duck in Beijing. And they now have a number of different outlets. They become very successful. But one of the older Da Dong at the Worker Stadium, I think still carries the best, really, regardless of being still one of the best for Peking duck. They say it's all about the way they roast the duck. They use apricot wood and dried corn husks. And they say it's the sweetness of the apricot wood and the huskiness or the musky flavor of the corn stalk that gives the duck its, you know, that sort of smoky, sweet flavor.
Oh, wonderful. And I'd imagine that in a restaurant like that, it would be very noisy because you'd have lots of local people enjoying the food.
Yes, absolutely. And that's what makes it so fun. As they say, the noisier, the better. So.
And as you say, you look where the local people are eating.
You know what? It's very true. And I have to tell you, I've been very fortunate, you know, in all these years to travel throughout China, and I have found some of the best meals I've ever had are in roadside stands. And I know a lot of people would probably balk at stopping at a, you know, roadside restaurant off of the highway in China, but I'll tell you, when you go into these little roadside restaurants, you go in to the sort of makeshift kitchen and you ask the cook what's on today, and they'll show you what they've got from the market, and everything is, you know, truly farm to table fresh. You pay nothing for these incredible dishes that are sort of innovated on the spot by the cook in this little roadside restaurant.
Tourism in China now, is it growing all the time, or has it become a little bit static?
Tourism, foreign inbound tourism into China, I think is plateaued for the last 3 or 4 years, but it is not growing to the degree it once did in the early days. Maybe it's not properly promoted from China. It's of the incredible diversity, not only of the people, but of the landscapes. I mean, it's such a massive country. And you've got to go to Beijing or wherever you can access the Great Wall. You've got to see the Terracotta Warriors. And I think Chengdu is a great city. I think Chengdu and Sichuan is a great place for people to visit because of the panda. It's got a great food culture. Got a great contemporary art culture. In terms of what's new and hot, so to speak, there are a couple places. One is Guizhou province, G-U-I-Z-H-O-U. Guizhou has actually long been a place the French travel to, but suddenly Guizhou's on the radar. China has invested in the development of this incredible new high-speed rail network. And so you can access so many regions in China now by taking high-speed or bullet trains. And there's a great high-speed rail link going into Guizhou to its capital, Guiyang. And once you're there, you've got this incredibly poor province that has been untouched to a large degree, but has a wealth of minority cultures. And if you really want to get into minority villages, see festivals, Guizhou is the place to go because they are really very untouched, which is really nice. And the other place I love is the province of Shanxi, S-H-A-N-X-I, Shanxi. And Shanxi is one of these cradles of Chinese folklore. And it's got a lot of antiquity and wonderful old towns and cities that aren't regularly visited by many Western travelers. So it's a great place to explore. We do trips now from Kunming in Yunnan to Hanoi in Vietnam to go overland from China to Vietnam, overland from China into Burma or China into Laos or China into Mongolia. You know, that's the great thing, you know, this new infrastructure, China. You know, you can access other countries from China.
That was Veronica Matheson there. A terrific interview with Gerald Haverley. A lot of information there. And Gerald's a long-time China specialist based in Hong Kong with luxury travel operator Abercrombie & Kent, recently named as one of the world's top 50 guides by Condé Nast Traveler magazine. You're listening to The Travel Writers Show on JAIR 87.8 FM.